to be a little different, but please pray with me. Holy Father, we bow before you this morning, and our desire is that we might honor your Son, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We thank you for him. Father, we thank you that, like those at Antioch first, we're called Christians. Oh, Father, we thank you for our Savior. We pray that he might be greatly honored this day and that the fellowship of your people might be pleasing to you. Would you bless us now as we think on him? We ask you these things in his name, in the name of our Lord Jesus. Amen. We have passion narratives in each of the four canonical Gospels. And while some details are recorded in only one Gospel, other things are recorded in all. And I'm not going to ask you to stand this morning because we'll have a sort of a lengthy reading. But I want you to listen carefully as I read some excerpts from the passion narratives in each of the four Gospels. From Matthew chapter 27, verses 15 through 22. Now at that feast, the governor was wont to release unto the people a prisoner, whom they would. And they had then a notable prisoner called Barabbas. Therefore, when they were gathered together, Pilate said unto them, Whom will you that I release unto you, Barabbas or Jesus, which is called Christ? For he knew that for envy they had delivered him. When he was set down on the judgment seat, his wife sent unto him, saying, Have nothing to do with that just man, for I have suffered many things this day in a dream because of him. But the chief priests and elders persuaded the multitude that they should ask Barabbas and destroy Jesus. The governor answered and said unto them, Whether of the twain shall I release unto you? And they say, Barabbas. Pilate said unto them, What shall I do then with Jesus, which is called Christ? They all say unto him, Let him be crucified. Now from Mark chapter 15, verses 6 through 15. Now at that feast, he released unto them one prisoner, whomsoever they desired. And there was one named Barabbas, which lay bound with them that had made insurrection with him, who had committed murder in the insurrection. And the multitude, crying aloud, began to desire him to do as he had ever done unto them. But Pilate answered them, saying, Will ye that I release unto you the king of the Jews? For he knew that the chief priest had delivered him for envy. But the chief priest moved the people that he should rather release Barabbas unto them. And Pilate answered and said unto them, What will you then that I shall do unto him that you call the king of the Jews? And they cried out again, Crucify him! Then Pilate said unto them, Why? What evil hath he done? And they cried out the more exceedingly, Crucify him! So Pilate, willing to content the people, released Barabbas unto them, and delivered Jesus when he had scourged him to be crucified. Now from Luke chapter 23, verses 13 to 25. Pilate, when he had called together the chief priests and the rulers of the people, said unto them, You have brought this man to me as one that perverteth the people. And behold, I, having examined him before you, have found no fault in this man touching those things whereof you accuse him. No, nor yet Herod, for I sent you to him, and lo, nothing worthy of death is done unto him. I will therefore chastise him and release him. For of necessity he must release one unto them at the feast. But they all cried out at once, saying, Away with this man! Release unto us Barabbas, who for a certain sedition made in the city and for murder was cast into prison. Pilate, therefore, willing to release Jesus, spake again to them. But they cried, saying, Crucify him! Crucify him! And he said to them the third time, Why? What evil hath he done? I have found no cause of death in him. I will therefore chastise him and let him go. And they were instant with loud voices, requiring that he might be crucified. And the voices of them and of the chief priest prevailed. And Pilate gave sentence that it should be as they required. And he released unto them him that for sedition and murder was cast into prison, whom they desired. But he delivered Jesus to their will. Finally, from John chapter 18. John chapter 18, verse 33 through chapter 19, verse 6. Then Pilate entered into the judgment hall again and called Jesus and said unto him, Art thou the King of the Jews? Jesus answered him, Sayest thou this thing of thyself, or did others tell it thee of me? Pilate answered, Am I a Jew? Thine own nation and the chief priests have delivered thee unto me. What hast thou done? Jesus answered, My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, then would my servants fight, that I should not be delivered to the Jews. But now is my kingdom not from hence. Pilate therefore said unto him, Art thou a king then? Jesus answered, Thou sayest that I am a king. To this end was I born, and for this cause came I into the world, that I should bear witness unto the truth. Everyone that is of the truth heareth my voice. Pilate saith unto him, What is truth? And when he had said this, he went out again unto the Jews and saith unto them, I find in him no fault at all. But you have a custom that I should release unto you one at the Passover. Will you therefore that I release unto you the King of the Jews? Then cried they all again, saying, Not this man, but Barabbas. Now Barabbas was a robber. Then Pilate therefore took Jesus and scourged him. And the soldiers plaited a crown of thorns and put it on his head. And they put on him a purple robe and said, Hail, King of the Jews! And they smote him with their hands. Pilate therefore went forth again and saith unto them, Behold, I bring him forth to you, that you may know that I find no fault in him. Then came Jesus forth, wearing the crown of thorns and the purple robe. And Pilate saith unto them, Behold the man. When the chief priests therefore and officers saw him, they cried out, saying, Crucify him! Crucify him! Pilate saith unto them, Take you him and crucify him, for I find no fault in him. May the Lord add his blessing to the reading of Holy Scripture. Well, as you heard there in our reading, all four Gospels give an account of this prisoner exchange on the morning of the Savior's crucifixion. Jesus was interrogated briefly by Pontius Pilate and then sent back to the Jews because Pilate could find no fault in him. And then, in an attempt to quiet this riotous crowd that's been stirred up by the Pharisees, the Sadducees, and the Jewish leadership, Pilate tries to use this Passover tradition of a prisoner release to free Jesus. He says, How about I let Jesus go? Now, Pontius Pilate is a most interesting historical figure. When confronted with Jesus of Nazareth, he must decide what to do. Will he heed the vox populi, the voice of the people? Or will he heed the vox Dei, the voice of God? Because on that dreadful morning, Pilate heard them both. He heard the vox populi and he heard the vox Dei. Holy Scripture only gives us limited information concerning this man, Barabbas. From the fourth gospel, we learn that he was a robber. He's a robber. Mark and Luke tell us that he had committed murder during an insurrection, an uprising against Rome, a sedition. Peter confirms that he's a murderer when in his Acts 3 sermon, he refers to Barabbas as a murderer. St. Matthew records that he was a notable prisoner. Other translations render that a notorious prisoner, one, an infamous prisoner. So listen, the idea is that this man, Barabbas, he was not some John Doe prisoner. He was more like a John Dillinger prisoner. He was notable, notorious, infamous, well known. When we piece all these canonical accounts together, what we find is that in a Jewish uprising against Rome, Barabbas had killed on behalf of the insurgents. So, listen. So to many Jews, he was a freedom fighter. A sort of Jewish Robin Hood. A true patriot. True patriot. While to Pilate, he was an extremist, a terrorist. The political and cultural atmosphere of first century Palestine was unique. Historically, you know, the Jewish people were gutsy. They were kind of fed up after being under one exile or one foreign occupation after another. And after the semi-successful Maccabean revolt in the intertestamental period, many of the Jewish people saw themselves as sort of a formidable force. Yeah, we're under Rome's thumbs, but we're bad. With the tensions between Rome and Judea being what they were, Palestine at the time of Jesus' arrest was like a powder keg waiting on a lightning bolt. It was just ready to explode. Some scholars have argued that Barabbas was one of the Sicarii. The Sicarii were revolutionaries led by the descendants of Judas of Galilee. They helped foster a revolt against Rome in AD 6. I want to read to you just a little to help you get a sense, maybe even a feeling for the political and cultural situation in Jerusalem in the days of Pontius Pilate. Both Philo of Alexandria and Titus Flavius Josephus record incidents during the administration of Pontius Pilate that are instructive. And I'm just going to read a couple to you from Josephus's Jewish Antiquities. This is 1155 through 59 and 1860 through 62. So listen. Now Pilate, the prefect of Judea, when he had brought his army from Caesarea and removed it to the winter quarters in Jerusalem, took a bold step in subversion of the Jewish practices by introducing into the city the busts of the emperor that were attached to the military standards. For our law forbids the making of images. It was for this reason that the previous prefects, when they entered the city, used standards which had no such ornaments. Pilate was the first to bring the images into Jerusalem and set them up, doing it without the knowledge of the people, for he entered at night. But when the Jewish people discovered it, they went in a throng to Caesarea and for many days entreated him to take away these images. He refused to yield, since to do so would be an outrage to the emperor. However, since they did not cease entreating him, on the sixth day he secretly armed and placed his troops in position, while he himself came to the speaker's stand. This had been constructed in the stadium, which provided concealment for his army, which lay in wait. When the Jews again engaged in supplication, at a prearranged signal, he surrounded them with his soldiers and threatened to punish them with death at once if they did not put an end to their tumult and return to their places. But they, casting themselves prostrate on the ground and baring their throats, declared that they would gladly welcome death rather than make bold to transgress the wise provisions of their laws. Pilate, astonished at the strength of their devotion to the laws, straightway removed the images from Jerusalem and brought them back to Caesarea. And here's another one from Josephus. He, that is Pontius Pilate, spent money from the sacred treasury, that is the Jewish money, in the construction of an aqueduct to bring water into Jerusalem, intercepting the source of the stream at a distance of 35 kilometers. The Jews did not acquiesce in the operations that this involved, and tens of thousands of men assembled and cried out against Pilate, bidding him to relinquish his promotion of such designs. Some even hurled insults and abuse of the sort a throng will commonly engage in. Pilate therefore ordered a large number of his soldiers to be dressed in Jewish garments, under which they carried hidden clubs, and he sent them off this way and that, and surrounding the Jews, he ordered them to withdraw. When the Jews were in full torrent of abuse, he gave his soldiers a prearranged signal. The soldiers, however, inflicted much harder blows than Pilate had ordered, punishing alike both those who were rioting and those who were not. But the Jews showed no faint-heartedness, and so, caught unarmed as they were, by men delivering a prepared attack, many of them were slain on the spot, while some withdrew, disabled by the blows. Thus ended the uprising. It was a powder keg. Some historians have said that the reason Pilate was sent there was because he was in trouble. This was not a desirable post because of these Jews. Barabbas was a revolutionary during the time of the administration of Pilate, probably a Jewish nationalist who had fought for liberty against the Roman occupation. So, in addition to being a man of violence, a killer, a murderer, he was probably a man greatly admired by the Jews, either openly or tacitly. He's one of us. See what he did to those Romans. Brothers and sisters, think with me, please. Barabbas had been going about Jerusalem and the surrounding country as a Jewish zealot, plotting revolt against Rome, stealing from the Romans. Remember, John said he was a robber. He was having to probably live as an outlaw before he was captured. And justifying it, because, you know, stealing from an occupier, that's not really stealing, right? And killing in support of Jewish nationalism. Now listen, at the same time Barabbas had been raising hell in support of an earthly kingdom, consider what Jesus of Nazareth had been doing. Instead of raising hell, Jesus came down from heaven. John 6:38. Instead of advocating violent revolution, Jesus came preaching peace. Acts 10:36. He came preaching peace. While Barabbas was plotting revolution under the cover of black darkness, Jesus was sitting on a sun-drenched mountaintop preaching, "Blessed are the peacemakers. They shall be called the children of God. Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake. Theirs is the kingdom of heaven." Matthew 5:9-10. While Barabbas and his cohorts were sharpening their daggers and learning how to conceal their weapons, Jesus was teaching his followers, "You have heard it said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth, but I say to you, resist not evil. Whosoever shall smite thee on the right cheek, turn to him the other also. If any man will sue thee at the law and take away thy coat, let him have thy cloak also. And whosoever shall compel thee to go a mile, go with him twain. Give to him that asketh thee, and from him that would borrow of thee, turn thou not away. You have heard, it hath been said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say to you, love your enemies. Bless them that curse you. Do good to them that hate you. Pray for them that despitefully use you and persecute you, that you may be the children of your Father which is in heaven. For he maketh his sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and he sendeth his rain on the just and the unjust. Matthew 5, 38 through 45. When Pontius Pilate inquires of him, "Art thou the king of the Jews?" The King of Kings answers him, and he says, "My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, then would my servants fight that I should not be delivered to the Jews. But my kingdom is not from hence." Brother, sister, friend, I want you to use your imagination this morning and put yourself into the shoes of a Jew living under the tyranny of Rome and Pontius Pilate, and understand the choice, this choice between Jesus and Barabbas. Couldn't be more stark. It couldn't be more stark. This name, Barabbas, it's not like Cook or Doyle or Hale. You remember that Jesus called Peter Simon Barjona, Simon, son of Jonah. And Barabbas means son of the father. Abba being the Greek for father. Barabbas, son of the father. Some ancient manuscripts, textual variants, ascribe the name Jesus to Barabbas. And if that's correct, his name would have been Jesus Barabbas. Jesus, son of the father. Very interesting. If that's the case, and those textual variants are right, it makes Pontius Pilate's question even more probing. Because, you see, if that textual variant is right, then Pilate's question to the angry mob would have been, "Whom will ye that I release unto you? Jesus, the Son of the Father, Jesus Barabbas, or Jesus who is called Messiah, that is Christ? Which one you want? Which Jesus?" That's Matthew 27:17, paraphrased according to that textual variant. If that textual variant is correct and Barabbas' name actually was Jesus, then the question of Pilate was, which one? Which Jesus? And you know, Jesus means Savior. Which Savior do you want? As we noted, the choice couldn't be more stark. Barabbas is in a Roman prison because he has taken life while seeking the deliverance of the Jews. Jesus has been preaching peace, and he's about to deliver Israel from the ultimate tyrant, sin, and from its wages, death and hell. One prisoner fights for earthly deliverance. He cries out, "Kill your enemies! Take what is yours. Take what's yours." And the other prisoner cries out, "Love your enemies." If he demands one, give him two. One prisoner offers earthly deliverance, or the hope of it, a Jewish kingdom where we're in charge, not those cursed Romans. The other prisoner speaks of another world, a kingdom of peace and peacemakers, a kingdom where love reigns and death has been abolished. Beloved, can you imagine the thoughts in those Jewish minds? This Jesus of Nazareth, he claims to be the one who is to come. He claims to be the Messiah, but he won't even fight for us like Barabbas. He preaches peace. Can't he see that the Romans are desecrators of our cherished religion? Can't he see that love is not the weapon we need? We need young men with swords. That's what we need. In his gospel, Matthew records that when the crowd was given the choice between Jesus and Barabbas, the chief priests and elders persuaded the multitude that they should ask Barabbas and destroy Jesus. I can imagine the propaganda, can't you? Jewish leadership's going around, this guy's a nut. Can't y'all see that? He's a nut. He's never even used a sword. He has no idea how to fight Rome. Barabbas does. He's killed one already. This guy's telling us to love our enemies. He's telling us to love these Romans. He's crazy. Can't you hear the propaganda? We need Barabbas. Barabbas knows how to fight Romans. He's already showed us that. Barabbas has already fought for us. Barabbas has sacrificed for us. Barabbas has killed for us. Like I said, beloved, stark choice. Stark choice. Which Savior, which Jesus do you want? Well, beloved, I submit to you this morning that the choice faced by those Jews, those people at Jerusalem that day, is the same choice facing people today. Barabbas or Jesus? Barabbas or Jesus? This world or another? An earthly kingdom or an heavenly? The flesh or the spirit? Earthly riches or treasure in heaven? Temporality or eternity? Evil or good? Darkness or light? Death or life? And saints, listen. Listen, you who have followed Jesus, You who have chosen him, I must remind you, it's not a one-time thing. It's a choice every day. Remember, Jesus said to them all, "If any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me." Luke 9:23. Daily means every day. You see, it's not enough to walk an aisle or jump a pew or even make a profession of faith and seek baptism. Not enough. Following Jesus involves embracing him, taking up his cross day after day after day after day after day. It involves choosing Jesus instead of Barabbas again and again and again and again. And this carrying your cross business, sometimes not much fun. It involves prioritizing faith over sight. Believing in what we can't see in the face of what seems obvious. Wasn't it obvious to anyone with a brain that the defeat of Rome would require a whole lot of young men with a whole lot of swords? Wasn't it just plain as day? Beloved, expedience and common sense, those are not the way of Jesus. Friends, the way of nonviolence, the way of Jesus, the Christian way, it's a way of faith because it's so obviously counterintuitive. And because it's so counterintuitive, the way of Jesus is a way that must be consciously chosen again and again and again and again. And again, because your mind will say, this will never work. Even after it's been followed a long time, the way of Jesus is a way that's strange to us. It's strange to our flesh, and so we must consciously choose it again. We must take up the cross again. We must turn away from Barabbas and to Jesus again and again and again. Friend, what are you looking for? What are you looking for? Temporal liberation? So you can pursue pleasure, health, economic success? Or eternal liberation? Deliverance from sin and death and hell. You'll have to choose Jesus or Barabbas. What shall I do with Jesus? He stands before me now, wearing the robe of purple and thorns upon his brow. That is the question now. What shall the answer be? Shall I crucify King Jesus and set Barabbas free? Shall I release the robber, the carnal man of pride, sin, or a sinless Savior? Oh, which will be denied? This is the question now. What shall the answer be? Shall I crucify King Jesus and set Barabbas free? Solemn and awful question. How still the balance stands. Mercy a moment lingers. It trembles in her hands. This is the question now. What shall the answer be? Shall I crucify King Jesus and set Barabbas free? Self on the seat of judgment. Dare you the world deny? Louder and louder calling, away and crucify. This is the question now. What shall the answer be? Shall I crucify King Jesus and set Barabbas free? Not to the sinner only, the question comes with power. Hear it, you halting Christians, in every trying hour. This is the question now. What shall the answer be? I will crucify Barabbas and set King Jesus free. Please stand with me for prayer. Let us pray. O Holy Father, I bless Thee that the issue of the battle between Thyself and Satan has never been uncertain and will end in victory. Calvary broke the dragon's head, and I contend with a vanquished foe, who with all his subtlety and strength has already been overcome. When I feel the serpent at my heel, may I remember him whose heel was bruised, but who, when bruised, broke the devil's head. My soul with inward joy extols the mighty conqueror. Heal me of any wounds received in the great conflict. If I have gathered defilement, if my faith has suffered damage, if my hope is less than bright, if my love is not fervent, if some creature comfort occupies my heart, if my soul sinks under pressure of the fight, O Thou, whose every promise is balm, every touch life, draw near to this weary warrior. Refresh me that I may rise again to wage the strife and never tire until my enemy is trodden down. Give me such fellowship with Thee that I may defy Satan, unbelief, the flesh, the world, with such delight that comes not from a creature and which a creature cannot mar. Give me a draught of the eternal fountain that lieth in Thy immutable everlasting love and decree. Then shall my hand never weaken, my feet never stumble, my sword never rest, my shield never rust, my helmet never shatter, my breastplate never fall, as my strength rests in the power of Thy might. In Jesus' name, amen.